morning.
Good morning.
I want to welcome everyone to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church and thank you for coming out to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A few announcements. One, I'm very excited to announce that the missional process team is going to have their first meeting on May 27th at 7 o'clock. So please be in prayer for that. I believe it'll be something wonderful for our church. And just another announcement and congratulations to Bill, who's graduating Friday. I want to make sure I say everything. Certificate of Ministry?
Servant of the Church.
Servant of the Church, 1 year degree, and then I believe he's going to continue on. But congratulations, and hopefully we'll see you Friday night. Summertime Fun Fellowship, and see the Hawaiian theme, directly after church, hot dogs and chips and cake and cookies and some side dishes. Children's Sermon will be May 24th, and you can read about the food bank, some of the specific items that they're asking for. Instead of asking for flower donations, you can read about that. The Valley Garden is ready for planting. I'm not sure if everyone that wants to apply has signed up, but if you're not, it's time. And volunteers needed in the kitchen for monthly luncheons on Wednesdays and Thursdays, and I'm sure they could still use some pies. And then you can sign up to be a scripture reader. I love having you do that. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our opening hymn of praise, Alleluia, sing to Jesus on 233.
Alleluia, sing to Jesus on 233.
song about the ascension of Jesus. Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed in your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we worship you for your great love. We praise you for protecting us. Forgive us when we fail to recognize all you do for your children. Help us believe that you are always with your church. Remind us that you promise to never leave or forsake us. Teach us how to stay positive in all circumstances. May we live according to your words. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for a personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Faith as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. If you're not sure of someone's name, ask them. I got to tell you, y'all are just way too friendly to be Presbyterians.
Responsive reading, Psalm 91, 707, back to your hymnals, 707, Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord,
He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust.
Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. A thousand may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of a wicked.
If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that will not strike your foot against a stone.
Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With a long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
It's time I invite Elle on the door to come forth with a prayer and praise request.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a prayer request from Lynn Love for Janet Veneman, her aunt. Her cancer is back. Prayers for comfort, guidance, and healing. I have a praise request from Kathy Segi for Pat Koss. As of today, she is cancer-free. She was suffering from multiple myeloma. I butchered that, I'm sorry. It will come back, but as of now, it's in remission. Prayer for her back pain improves. A praise request for Mike Segi from Kathy Segi. He is graduating from Beatty Tech Ad and Design Program. I am so proud of him since he found God during one of my illnesses. He has changed into a wonderful, caring, responsible young man, and more importantly, a good Christian. A praise request from me to whoever ordered the rain this weekend. 7 Little League games this week. 3 were canceled this weekend, which is why I'm allowed to be here today. So you don't often hear a praise request for the rain. And finally, a praise request from Carol and John Kane for their daughter Stephanie. On Wednesday, she successfully defended her doctoral dissertation and received her PhD in language, literacy, and culture at Pitt. She is now officially Dr. Stephanie Kane Manier. This is the culmination of 7 years of work, in addition to being a great wife and mother, attentive daughter, holding down a job, and being the cookie mom for Skylar's Girl Scout troop. Well done, Stephanie.
Come on, I add Johnny O'Ryan to it, who has his broken arm, and hopefully he's healing quickly and properly. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this day, for this day, that we can celebrate your love and your mercy, your kindness, the salvation that you have extended us through Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We thank you that we can come together in worship, and then after worship we can fellowship, which really is a part of worship also. We thank you for all that the deacons do for our church. We ask for your blessings upon them and all the helpers. Lord, we all the names listed and brought this morning, prayers of thanksgiving and intercession, we just lift every prayer up to you, knowing that you hear them because Jesus said that you would, and we go to you through Jesus as our high priest. Lord, answer these prayers according to your will, your love, your glory, your might. Help us to always to receive the answer and stay positive and always look to you for protection, for guidance, for help. We thank you that you gave your disciples
Such a wonderful prayer that we can pray this day. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. A hymn of preparation, a screen song, God is my refuge.
Thank you that the grave and death could not hold you, but you arose on the third day and you met with many disciples, and then you ascended into heaven. We thank you for everything that you have done for us. And on the day of Pentecost, you sent your Holy Spirit to empower your church. We thank you for endowing us with these gifts that we can use for your glory, that we can point people to Jesus Christ as Lord and their lives to change for the better. Lord, thank you for every gift, every dollar that is given, everything that is done in your name. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend, we do pray. Amen.
And I forgot to announce, but if I don't, sometimes I forget. Be sure to pass your red pads down every Sunday, whether I announce it or not, so we can have a record of attendance. And if you get a chance before you leave the service, I hope you will do so.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Today's reading is John 17, 6 through 19. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given comes from me. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name that you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified.
Thank you, Patty. You probably already knew, but I forgot to mention during the prayers, one of our members, Clint Ferrari, passed away and had the service this week. And just in the past 6 weeks, I believe, we've lost five longtime members. So let's remember all their families in our prayers. Question for this morning is, what is the meaning of life? It might be a question that is asked in despair or hope or out of cynicism or out of sincere curiosity and a deep desire to have goals and guidance in life. And our most basic and fundamental question, what is the meaning of life? And so it comes as no surprise that Jesus deals with this question. The answer is not given in the context of an argument with the Jewish religious leaders or in a discussion with his disciples, and is not given in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus deals with so many fundamental issues in life. Jesus deals with the meaning of life in the context of prayer. It has been called Jesus' high priestly prayer. The disciples are in the upper room. They've just finished the Passover meal, and Jesus is thinking about the crucifixion that will occur within the next 24 hours. He knows he is about to leave his disciples alone in the world, and he goes before God as a priest would to intercede for his disciples, to pray for them. In essence, Jesus says, the meaning of life is this, that you have a relationship with God and me, Jesus Christ, as your Savior. And that's really the long and short of it. Jesus understands just how difficult it was going to be, not only for his disciples, but for us to come to this very simple realization in life. And so he prays basically for two things. In order that we might understand the meaning of life, he prays for our protection from the world and from the evil one. And we do need protection from the world, because the world can steal life and happiness and joy from us. Patsy Claremont, author of the cute book God Uses Cracked Pots, tells a story about her youngest son, Jason. Little Jason had two goals in life. One was to have fun, and the other was to rest and take naps. Some of you can relate to that. So it's no surprise that when he was sent out to catch the bus one fall morning, a few moments later there was a knock on the door. His mother, thinking something horrible has happened, runs to the door, swings it open, and there is Jason looking up with his backpack and his little lunchbox dragging on the ground. Mom demanded, "What are you doing here?" And he says, "Mom, I've quit school." She said, "Quit school?" And she looked at her child in disbelief. She tried to think of some motherly wisdom to give to him.
but she was so caught by surprise that all she could think of was a stitch in time saves nine, and starve a cold, feed a fever. And that just wasn't going to get it. They didn't seem to fit the occasion, so she asked him, Jason, why have you quit school? Without hesitation, little Jason said, it's too long, it's too hard, and it's too boring. This time she had an answer equal to the task. She said, Jason, you have just described life. Get back on the bus. The day in and day out challenges of life sometimes can be overwhelming for each of us. Sometimes life can be too long, it can be too hard, and it can seem too boring at times. And we lose our Christian hope and joy and succumb to despair. It's when we try to find meaning in life at things other than God. We look for escape through a bottle. We look for happiness in the form of another woman. We look for stability in life that another man might can give us. We try to resolve conflict through violence, or we try to dissolve our material desires by stealing. And Jesus understood these trials and temptations, so he prayed, Father, protect them from the world so that they may be one as we are one. A visiting preacher in a small town in Kentucky was concerned when he was preaching the first night of a revival. You have to understand, in Kentucky, that's where I went to graduate school, a lot of small churches out in the country, and they have revivals and invite a preacher in that'll last all week and then culminate on Sunday morning. Well, he began the first night of the revival meeting and noticed that most of the men in the congregation were carrying guns. Although that rattled him, he did as best as he could to present his sermon. Very, very nervous. When finished, his anxieties heightened as several of the men approached the pulpit with guns drawn. In panic, he turned to the chairman of the deacons who happened to be sitting next to him, and the deacon calmed his fears and said, don't worry, they ain't coming after you. They're looking for the elders that invited you to preach in the first place. Well, sometimes even a pastor needs a place to hide after a sermon. But hopefully none of you are packing guns this morning, or at least you're a bad shot. Policemen guard our communities. Laws and rules protect our society. Parents teach honesty and integrity to their children so that they will grow up and they will have good values and know how to handle life. They will have norms of behavior that fit in society. We all need someone at some times to keep us safe and protected. So why should it surprise us that our souls need to be safeguarded from the corruption of the world, the things that would draw us away from the church, away from God, back out into the world? Jesus prayed for his disciples that the Father would protect them and keep them from losing their way in this world. We need a safe environment. I don't think it merely means a physical or a social environment, but we need a safe spiritual environment to nurture our faith and our commitment to God. Jesus understood how difficult it was going to be for us to understand the real meaning of life. It's difficult because there's so many ways to get lost in the world, taking the wrong path and never coming back. Jesus gives our souls the security that we need in order to hear his call and follow. So in order that we might understand the meaning of life, Jesus prays that we might know God. Moses, when he brought down the Ten Commandments from Mount Sinai, gathered all the people of Israel together and read the commandments before them so that they could all hear it at the same time. And so he summed up the Ten Commandments in these words, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. When Jesus was asked by an expert in the law, what is the greatest commandment of the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul and all your mind. And on the evening before his crucifixion, Jesus prayed that disciples will come to know God in a personal way. Actually, Jesus is simply echoing the words from Moses. He is restating the lines in a brief phrase that they may know the only true God. Jesus isn't talking about knowing God like you know your ABCs or you know the multiplication tables. He's talking about knowing God, knowing Jesus himself in a very personal, in a very intimate way. That's what Jesus is praying for, and I want to tell you how hard this can be for all of us. It's hard enough to let your family into your heart and into your mind, into your life. Much more, God, who wants to change you and make you a better person. And yet that is what is being asked of each and every one of us. This is the only way to find true meaning and happiness in life. And it's the only way that your children and grandchildren will find their meaning in life. When Moses read all the Israel, the Ten Commandments, and summed them up by saying, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart," he added something very important there. He said, "Teach these commandments to your children." Of course, the best way to teach your children the meaning of life is to live it in front of them, live it on a day-to-day basis in your home. If your kids see you putting other things before God, they will come discouraged and delusioned and think, "Church doesn't matter. God doesn't matter." Like a young Jewish boy who once lived in Germany. His father was a very successful merchant, and the family practiced their Jewish faith. But then they moved to another German city, and the boy's father announced that they would no longer attend the Jewish synagogue. They were going to join the Lutheran Church. The boy was very surprised and asked his father why the family was joining the Lutheran Church and leaving the Jewish faith. And his father's answer was something like this: "Son, it's for business reasons. There's so many Lutherans in the town that I can make good business contacts at the Lutheran Church. It will be good for our business and for our family." That boy, who had a deep interest in religion at that time, became so disillusioned with his father that something within him died towards God and towards the church. The incident helped to turn him against religion, and not just turn away from it, but turn away from it with a vengeance. That young boy later moved to England and began to write. His name, Karl Marx. As the father of communism, he wrote the Communist Manifesto, in which he called religion the opiate of the masses. In other words, he believed that religion pacified, placated people, and caused them not to go into the world and do good things. It was the destroyer of any progress. Religion held us back. And I wonder if world history, not just this family, I wonder if world history might be different today if Karl Marx's father had just come to know Jesus and become a disciple himself instead of doing what he did. One thing is sure, he needed to learn from his father, and he did not learn from his father. God gives us protection, and he desires that we have a personal, intimate relationship with him. Remember that Jesus prayed for his disciples. These were those who had walked with him and learned from him for 3 years. We all need to deepen our relationship with God, and Jesus prays that we might do just that. So will you pray that you might come to know God more deeply, so that you can have that true joy and understand the true meaning of life for you and for your family? So I say to you today, hear, O Glenshaw Valley Presbyterians, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. That, my friends, is the true meaning of life, a relationship with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. May you be blessed. Amen. Hymn of Response 29, Glorify Thy Name. Join us after worship. There are plenty of hot dogs and chips and drinks and cake and hopefully some side dishes and some fellowship.
Yummy.
Yummy.
That was right, Mark. As you prepare to leave this sanctuary, I hope that you feel protected in your life and that you feel loved by God and that you know Him in a personal way. But we all could have a deeper faith. We could all dig deeper and draw closer to God. As you go from here, go in His name, telling others who Jesus is and that they can find the true meaning of life. Go in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.